Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and of course, I don't have to remind those mothers out there that today is Mother's Day. And for each and every mother out there, I wish you the best. And hopefully, every one of your little chicks will check in at the nest and tell you just how marvelous you are. We all need to hear that once in a while, don't we? So I think Mother's Day is a good thing. So is Father's Day. It's that moment where we take the pulse of the nation and say, let us honor those who have loved us unconditionally. And if you're in a situation where you felt like your mom didn't love you unconditionally, well, maybe we can start up a Children's Day. Anyway, again, blessings to all of the mothers out there. The word that comes to mind, to my mind when I hear the mother, of course, is unconditional love and the nurture spirit. Yesterday, we had started to talk about the ley lines, and we were coming up to the end of the hour. Didn't really have enough time to present the information that we had with regards to ley lines, other energy as it comes up to us from the earth. I've always been so fascinated by this myself because I've been to some of the places in Europe that are well known for being energy centers. And just been so fascinated by it. I also remember some of my past lifetimes there, which kind of makes it interesting. And I've been able to go to the Akashic Records that's held by the cherubim in the center of the cosmos and am able to ask questions and get what I think is very fascinating information. So what I would like to do today, if there are people out there who are listening who maybe have gone to some of the sacred sites, either here in the United States or in Europe, and perhaps maybe even some other part of the world, familiar with some of the energy sites there, and if you participated there either in ceremony or just exploring what that might be like, do call in. Tell me your experiences. Give me some thoughts and our listeners as to what you learned at these different places. I know for myself, I have found that any place that I have gone to that the ancients have felt to be special in some way has always been a remarkable experience for me. And for those who are armchair travelers and really haven't had the opportunity to visit some of these places, you might enjoy some firsthand observations from people in the audience, and hopefully you will call in and share your insights with us. Our number here is 877-876-5227, and if you're from Canada, that number is 888-810-8322. So do share with us. We are all here anxious to hear of your experiences. Before I go on to that topic, though, I would like to mention that there is a place on the BBS index that mentions the hosts who have live programs, and what's been posted up there is my information that has to do with Archangel Michael's telephone conferences. So you probably have heard me speak of this in the past. It is an extraordinary opportunity to not only work with Archangel Michael, but with the other heavenly hosts. This is because of the new energy that is coming into this planet this time of the this year, and especially during March, April, and May. These are extraordinary times for us, and it is at this time that Archangel Michael and the heavenly hosts work with those that call in and connect with him through a telephone call that we call the conference calls. It's an extraordinary opportunity. Many people have seen and heard them, at least feel them, at the very least feel their love. So go to that section on the BBS index that mentions the host live events, and you will see all the information there with regard to these telephone calls, and would love to have you join. Getting back to the ley lines, I've been so fascinated. Hello? I have been so fascinated with the ley lines and the energy that this evokes, because so many of the large cathedrals and other churches, which maybe are not Gothic cathedrals, are situated on ley lines, their energy lines. I've been to some of the places myself, and as I said, they are quite extraordinary. I also remember a lifetime when I was involved with Sharp Cathedral, and was very much aware of the energy there. So it's been a topic that has great appeal to me. And I was reading about the ley lines and the fire festivals that the ancients had, where they basically built bonfires. They worked on the times of the year, four cycles of the year during the equinox and the solstices. And they built bonds. I mean, we just know this basically, that's been passed down from history to us, as waiting for the new rays of the sun, building bonfires in celebration when these came, and watching the sunrise. And we do have a caller. And your name, please?
Hello, Carolyn. This is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
How are you?
I'm great, Brian. What can we do for you today?
First, I would like to say Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, yes. It just is so marvelous to all the mothers to hear this from people.
Yeah.
We spent a lifetime of really trying to bring our kids up right. A lot of trials and tribulations in that, I can tell you, Brian.
Yeah.
And it is so wonderful to have a day set aside. And, well, you know, maybe we did a good job. So what can we do for you, Brian?
Well, you're talking of sacred sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to one, but it's not physically. I've been to one in my dream, a very vivid dream.
I love it.
I
guess you called to share that with us.
Yes, I would.
Wonderful.
In this dream, there is it seems like an island. I see it through my third eye in my
mm-hmm.
dream, and it's kind of, I'm not sure exactly where it's located, but maybe you could help me find that place.
I don't know. Let's see. Tell me about it.
It's very, it's kind of tropical. Very tropical. It might be like a chain of islands, kind of like the Hawaiian Islands or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if it's on this planet or another. I could see, like, my mind was passing each island, and it was going to a sacred site. And I cannot, it's like I was connecting with it, and I don't know if they were showing me an entrance way or something there that's located, or a or a past life. So
aren't these sort of things exciting when you have these kinds of dreams?
What's that?
I said it's just so exciting when you have these kinds of dreams. So basically, you in your dream, you're passing islands.
Yes, green. Lots of trees and the greenness that I could go. I went toward like this point, this reference point, to like a place, a surrounding in the island. It was like leading me right to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to know where this is located.
Well, yes. We'll see. I don't know if we can get the answer for you. We'll certainly see if we can. But it seems to me, from what you're saying, Brian, that there's something here that's a little bit more important than the place.
Okay.
Yes, I think we would be curious as to where this is, but it seems to me, listening to what you're saying, that perhaps the really important thing is, would be, number one, perhaps the significance of it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, apparently this holds a power of some sort for you, either in the present or in the past. When you had this dream, did this place seem like something that you recognized, or did it seem like a new journey? Was it a familiar? Did it have a familiarity about it?
That's the hard thing. This was a very, very real dream. Like, how you say it, a lucid dreaming, where
uh-huh.
you can see, like if I just looked out my window and I saw, that's how clear it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is a very powerful, very real, I guess, is how it connects to me. I feel it might be a past life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'd be future life.
You never know.
Like the eternal now. Yeah.
You just, I think when you have these experiences, Brian, you have to be open-minded about it.
Yes.
They can be. There are so many possibilities. It could be a past life. Could be something that happened in the future. I'm more intrigued. See, I believe what you're saying, but I'm more intrigued with the purpose for you to be viewing this.
Yes.
It just seems to me that there would be a reason behind this. I think when our soul leads us in directions for new information, they don't do this without a reason. There's usually some connection to it. Is this a recurring dream?
No. It was just
one-time thing.
And I don't know if they're showing me something. I don't.
Okay.
It wasn't a recurring. I know that.
Okay. Now, were you awake when this happened, or were you sleeping?
I was in a deep sleep, but it was
mm-hmm.
so real, like I felt like I was awake.
And I've had some of those myself.
I mean, I really thought I was awake. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and I was flying. I was flying through the air, and I was zooming in like a telescope to this island, and it got closer and closer to the ground, like
uh-huh.
into this. I can just see it right now. I just brought it like a telescope, zooming in from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're passing the hills and you're zooming in the telescope.
I love it. It sounds exciting. I wouldn't mind going with you.
Now,
when you woke up, Brian, what emotion did you have? Was it something of joy? Was it something of regret? Can you think of what you felt like when you woke up?
I felt like I had a connection to this place, and I would love to visit that place again.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it was something joyful.
Yes.
Mhm. Okay.
So I was wanting to ask the cherubim.
Yeah, that's just what I was going
to
do. I was just going to take a minute and see if we can find out something. You do know this, Brian, that information, for the most part, is usually open to us. Sometimes it's not for other reasons. They want us to find the answer ourselves, but I'm going to see what we can find for you if you just take be patient and allow me a moment.
Mm-hmm.
The cherubim, they're such beautiful ladies. I probably have told you this before. They're really androgynous, but they show themselves to me as in the female role because of the nurturing role that they play with human beings. And they're very much in love with their responsibility. They're very close to Source, and they serve Source. They're only the second line of life, so to speak, from source, the therabim being a little bit higher. And they take this role of holding these records very seriously, because this group of the cherubim who are responsible for holding these records, this is their sole responsibility, holding the records, protecting them, turning them over to source when they are being asked to turn them over to source. And they have this great love for humanity, because this is what these records are all about. There's another group of records that has to do with the organization of the cosmos, and that's handled by another group of cherubim. But this group of cherubim, they are so delighted to help you, and they wanted me to give you this little bit of background, because they have this sense of great joy to come forth and be able to assist you with this question. And they're telling me that one of the reasons why they are so joyful in helping you with this particular question is because sometimes they get questions, not exactly frivolous, but questions that really do not have a great import into the growth of their soul. And
yeah,
they're telling me that this particular dream that you had and could explore again.
Okay.
And you actually indicated that when you said, oh, it's just like I can see this again. So there has been a line or a channel, so to speak, a rail, if you want to think of it that way, that goes to this experience, so that you can call on that in the future if you so choose. That the flying aspect that you had was really the journey through the astral realm, where your the mind part. Now, we're not talking about the brain here. We're talking about the mind concept, which is part of the soul experience of the individual, made this trip. It was an actual place where you lived, and they are telling me that you had a leadership role there. It was a very happy time. It was a period of time when people lived in harmony with one another. This is one of the reasons why you had that experience, is because they want you to go back again. They want you to sense, pick up that vibration of harmony. It is the harmony of that lifetime. This wasn't just your harmony. This was the harmony of the group of people who were living there. This was what life was like before those souls came to Earth. They're telling me this is an Earth location. It wasn't another planetary location. This was the harmony and the beauty and the love that was brought down, the love experience that was brought down from the higher levels to the Earth plane. And so that this experience is to remind you to bring into your memory banks again that sense of harmony, that is going to be very important for your spiritual growth. And I would suspect that you know where this location is, dear.
Lemuria?
Just...
Was this ancient Lemuria?
It is. They are telling me the harmony was that period of time between Lemuria and Atlantis, that
wow.
the individuals who brought that way of living, they brought that with them. These were very highly elevated souls, and the Lemurians agreed to... Did you order Earth History by Archangel Michael?
No, not yet, but I'm thinking about it.
If you do purchase that, he is Archangel Michael explains that period of time and why that changed. You were part of the council that I'm trying to find the word to explain this. They were asked whether or not they would accept these beings from another planet, as their planet was being destroyed through their warlike actions, and you were part of the council. Not that you made the sole decision, but the leaders were asked for input as to whether they were given, the pros and cons were laid out in front of them. And there was a discussion because the exploration here on this planet was not intended to share the dark and the light. This was to be an exploration in the light and bringing down love from the higher dimensions. And this decision to allow these individuals to come was made as a rescue mission, and they felt that there was such harmony and such love here at that time that those who came, even though they were warlike in nature, would find the word to express this. They would change the way they were operating. That love would be the force that would change their warlike actions. And as we know, that didn't really happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there was peace in the land for a while, and then after a while, their what was part of their innate desire to conquer and control came forward. It is part of that history is part of what happened to the Lemurians. Some of them fell back in other parts of the island to stay with their own culture. Others could see the possibility of perhaps leading this group through influence to a higher vibration. Their vibration was lower, and so there was even a division among the Lemurians now. The ones who fell back and, you might say, stayed with the old ways, their vibration stayed as high as it was when they came. Those who interacted with this new group trying to save them, actually, trying to influence them, they ultimately lost some of their higher gifts. So, in essence, this experience that you had, what they are suggesting is that you meditate with that. This has, like, opened the doorway. So meditate with that, come in touch with it, follow that path, because you are working on a vibration, but what you want to seek and find out of that is that vibration of peace, love, and cooperation that was a part of you when you lived in the land, that it's important to you to remember that now and make it a part of you, because you're going to be using that in the future.
Wow, that's amazing, Carolyn. Wow. That brings me so much joy.
Well, you know, it's the way it's supposed to be. That is, now you see, you're feeling joy now. These emotions that we can search for and find that elevate our vibration, this is the challenge that is in front of us now. We see things in the news like, you know, negative things like war and killing and what's happening in the world, and it is, we cannot become a part of that. We have to do the things that raises our vibration for what is to come to us in the future. And I know that you know this.
Yes.
I'm not telling you something that you don't know.
That's true.
So in your joy, feel that joy. When you go to meditate, feel that joy and that excitement. Can you see the being that you were?
Seems like a teacher.
Yes. Male or female?
Now you're putting me on the spot, Kevin.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking, what is your sense? You might not have it. I'm trying to take it.
It might
there.
Be female.
What?
It seems female.
Seems to be what?
It seems female.
It seems female.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Follow that line. Gather as much as you can about it. I was picking up the male. There is a possibility that they could have been an androgynous spirit at that point.
Yes.
Which might very well be.
Maybe because of the feminine energy of love and light.
That could be. I was tuning into the masculine side,
yes.
Which would have been the power, the leadership. Not that the female couldn't be mm-hmm. the leader, but the protector.
Yeah, that's what I sense too. Like
yes.
I was protecting something.
That is the role. That is the role that you were following at that point. The protector.
I seen in this vision also, I had a falling out, a disagreement with some of the members or something. They wanted to pull one way and I wanted to speak the truth, but I was closed. I was cut off.
Well, I know for sure you're gonna get Archangel Michael's Earth history because it explains that situation.
Yes.
And that was, you see, it is like we have come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very pivotal point in Earth history. The decisions that were made at that time, the directions that humanity was going to take, and there were several roads that the human spirit chose,
mm-hmm.
and your spirit was standing up for, as I see it, following the ancient path.
Yes.
Does that resonate with you?
Oh, yes, it does.
Okay, so it is that ancient path that, I want to see if this is something you're supposed to find out or if I can tell you. You were following that ancient path because at that point in Earth history, there was a vibrational connection to Source yet.
I think that's why I'm having a strong connection with the Urantia book.
Mm-hmm.
Intertwines with that.
Mm-hmm. What do they say that in that book?
It's about the time you said around, I don't know, between around 30, 40, 50, 60,000 years ago, around that time, the time of Atlantis, Lemuria.
Mm-hmm.
And even maybe farther back. But there was I've seen those visions and I've seen those in my dreams very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
vividly.
This is actually before Atlantis.
Okay.
And it would be that crossover period between Lemuria and Atlantis. It was what happened there when this division in thinking occurred.
Mm-hmm.
It was very subtle. And this is how some of the great changes have occurred. They are so subtle that the people at the time do not always realize the consequences
mm-hmm.
until they go down that road and then they see what happened. But you were one who understood very clearly. You could see around the bend, so to speak. You believed that you should hold on to the old way because this was how you were trying to protect your people.
Yeah. Hmm. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. But you know it's true.
I know. I can feel it.
I'm not telling you something that you don't know. I'm just telling you something that you have forgotten.
Yeah.
But as we discuss it, you remember. You know it's accurate.
Yes, and that's why I love talking to you, Carolyn, because it helps reawaken those memories, and it's the confirmation also.
Well, yes, and you know it's. I'm glad to be talking to you about it to help you, but also I hope that when other people hear this, that
yes.
they are willing to accept the fact that the experiences that they're having are important experiences, and they must follow those also, because now is the time of the Great Awakening.
Yes, I wanted to add that real quick. It was not just about me.
Mm-hmm.
It was also about all the listeners out there. I know they're awakening right now. Even in
yes.
their dreams, they don't realize it, but maybe many do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in my heart that they are awakening to something great in the memories that I'm having also, and just to awaken and explore that more through meditation. So thank you, Carolyn.
Isn't it exciting once you start remembering?
Yes, it really is. It's almost like I can write a book, and I'm going to start to do that. Write it in the journal and try to keep track of these.
Well, you understand that it would be very important for you to make notations of these things in a journal.
Yes.
For several reasons. First of all, it is very easy to forget an experience or forget the details surrounding the experience.
Yes.
When you have a journal and you reread it, you remember the details, but also when you go there again and you sort of start like picking at the details, you then start to remember other things.
Yes, that's true. It takes farther into the vision.
Yes.
That's right. I understand now.
And then the other thing is when you have a journal, you start to see your own spiritual growth.
Yes.
And that becomes exciting.
Oh, it does. And even to share that with the world is just even marvelous.
I know. It's so exciting.
Well, thank you so much, Carolyn.
I'm so glad that you called in to share that with us. That is an exciting story.
It is. All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was exciting for Brian, but I tell you, it was also exciting for me. And the reason that it is exciting for me is, as Archangel Michael has told me many times, this particular moment is the moment that we are starting to connect with one another. We're starting to, we're just starting to pull back the curtain, so to speak, on our own history of the paths that our soul has taken. We are just starting to look into the mystery of all of that and see the beauty of it. And then the second part of it is those who are working with the light. Archangel Michael tells us we are his light workers, all of us. And so we're starting to peek into our own past. We're starting to recognize one another, and it is indeed very exciting. And we have another caller.
Hello,
and your
Carolyn.
Name?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Carolyn. This is Rosemary from Chicago.
Hi, Rosemary.
This is super coincidental because not long ago, I just had this incredible dream, or not a dream, and it was over a year ago, broke down in tears, and saw myself in front of Lemurian Council begging them not to take these souls in.
Oh, isn't that exciting?
And this gentleman is like, oh, you're a member of the wonderful, loving, loyal opposition.
Oh, my goodness, Rosemary, that is so exciting. That here, you know what is so fascinating about this? Before every show that I do, I always pray that the people will be united where that it will be the most benefit to individuals. And
mm-hmm.
So here Brian calls in, and then you call in remembering that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
See, you both were tuned in at the same time. Isn't that marvelous? Well, tell me what your dream was about that.
My dream was I was female, very androgynous looking, but female, standing in front of a Lemurian council and impassionately begging them not to take this in, but to preserve the old ways of love, and that it was my feeling that great mischief can come from overestimating one's abilities.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? Great. And that was, you see, what you are saying is what Archangel Michael said in his Earth history, that the people believe that their great compassion and their walk of love and how they were bringing heaven down to this level, they felt they were going to overcome anything that might be negative, and you were one of those who could see that it was possible to overestimate your own power. That's
mm-hmm.
fascinating.
Well, I remember it so clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's that we're coming to this decision time as well, when we need to be cautious again.
You know, Rosemary, I really do think you hit the nail on the head, so to speak. I do think that these memories are coming forth because we are again at a crossroad. And the crossroad is, what direction is human consciousness going to take us? You're absolutely right. I really think that is behind these memories. And as I told the previous caller, to remember that feeling of love and compassion, yes. And here you've come in with the second piece of the puzzle, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing. I just thought, well, I was going to come in from gardening, and I sat down by the computer to relax. and here's this wonderful, kind-voiced man talking. I'm going, wait a minute. I wanted to kind of believe that was a figment of my imagination.
So apparently nothing is really accidental, is it?
No.
Rosemary, have you been on our Archangel Michael conference calls?
No, I have not, but I think I would like to.
There is, the reason that I asked that, it just seems like you should be a part of that. The information is on the BBS index page on the left-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little place there that says BBS hosts live events.
Mm-hmm.
If you click into that, you'll see Archangel Michael's conference calls.
Okay.
And everything is there that you need to know. This might be of interest. And the reason that I say that is because he is there now calling all of us. We are coming back again. We are working together, and I suspect that there are other people who were involved in that decision making. They're going to be coming together again, and what they learned from that past experience, they're going to be using that. Don't you sense this time frame coming where decisions are going to have to be made again as to what path you're going to take?
And they will be hard ones.
Yes.
It's a matter of seeing beyond the Asperger syndrome and the anger and the misfunction and
mm-hmm.
looking into the heart and the soul of the being and saying, do you want to grow or do you want to stay in the game?
I think it's well put. We're all going to be having to make these decisions, and we're going to be drawing our strength from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that Archangel Michael, in answer to his promise that he would come for us at the time of awakening, and this is what is happening now. It is beautiful. Well, tell me, Rosemary, do you have anything else to add to that? You're making this plea in front of the council for another point of view, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Any other details that you can give us? It sounds like you and the previous caller were on the same wavelength.
Well, I remember that it was said with such impassioned emotion that it echoed for thousands of years through time.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was with deep regret that I bowed to the will of the council.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being tall. I remember being wearing the gown that I wore was white, and I remember being part of this wonderful council and just wanting to give heaven on earth a chance to blossom.
That was, you know, it's interesting that you say that, Rosemary, because that was the mission. That was the mission to bring heaven's love down to earth and to live that. That was the mission.
And anchor it into the third dimension.
Yes.
As an expression of joy and gratitude to the
mm-hmm.
Creator.
That was the mission. It's interesting how we remember these things. After that decision was made, and humanity took several paths, the group that came in, who later took over Atlantis, I was there during that period of time also, and remember... I don't remember the decision that you're telling us about. What I remember is later on, when this faction who was allowed to come and participate on this planet, that their faction dropped down to a very low vibrational level because of the things that were being done. I remember standing with ISIS, and we knew how far humanity was going to fall in understanding and spiritual awareness, and I remember grieving so over that. That was a very difficult memory to get over, and maybe some of that is what you felt at that moment, that sense of taking a path that humanity was going to lose so much of their glory, so to speak.
Exactly.
You must have had some sort of sense of what was going to happen.
Well, yeah. For someone who came through the Orion Wars and remembers them.
Oh, my goodness. We need to have a cup of coffee together and have some conversation. I just love it, Rosemary. Let me ask you one question before you go, because I have been so intrigued with this. Since your memory is so good concerning these events, I am wondering if you recall the light that came forth from the body. Do you remember that?
Yes. We were luminous. We didn't need light or things like that.
I wanted you to say that.
I mean, you know, I've gone cave, you know, Carlsbad Caverns, you know, where they turn out the lights they used to.
Yeah, yeah.
I just turned the light on inside myself. I was like, couldn't have done that. It was supposed to be dark for everybody.
See, I had a vision of myself and my soulmate back in that early time, because Atlantis in the very beginning was very similar to its attainment in Lemuria. They hadn't fallen yet. And I had this vision of the two of us, and I never put that adjective to it about being luminous. Yes, that's a good adjective. What I saw is we were wearing clothes, but the light that was shining from the inside of the bodies was actually coming through the clothing. You could see it. Didn't that just excite you?
Yes. Well, I mean, we were luminous, and I mean, when you chose clothes, they were at the temple. It was great science to match the clothes to the person in the right colors and the right robes to enhance who and what you were.
Oh, my goodness, that is so beautiful. So you remember being in the temples and doing that? Were you a priestess in one of the temples?
Yeah, I was. I remember working in Temple Beautiful.
Ah. Oh, so, and in Temple Beautiful, what was your job there? Do you care to share with us?
Oh, well, I'm going to tell you what I remember.
Would love it.
Genetic manipulation through sound to correct and heal.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
To try and correct and bring more light into beings that had chromosomal damage and that had been crossbred with beasts and other things as well in the latter epoch.
Oh, yeah, that was... See, I was there during that period of time also, what they call the things. It was, it's hard to imagine. And, you know, it's one of the things that kind of, I don't know what adjective to use, but like when we're tinkering around here with genetics and crossbreeding seeds and working with the human DNA, there are alarm bells that go off inside of me also.
That's why part of the animal kingdom in its nature split off and went into a different dimension to hold itself safe and sacred.
I didn't remember that. That's fascinating. So at that point in time, what you're saying is that the animal world split off and went into another dimension. Do you think that this is happening to some of the animal world right now?
I think some of them are leaving and going to a place where they are going to be welcomed and allowed their greatest light and fullest expression of God's divinity and joy, yes.
I suspect that that's happening too. I haven't done a reading about the bees, but the thought occurred to my mind that perhaps this is what's happening to some of the bees.
When they're not welcomed, I have bees everywhere. But I've gone and I've welcomed them and gave them a place to be. And they're fine. And I don't use insecticides or pesticides. I just go and tell the plants what they should be and where they should grow, and there's not a problem.
I'm assuming you want to be a co-host, don't you?
I don't know. I was just in awe of the synchronicity of spirit when Brian's call was there, and oh my goodness, so you're the loyal opposition. May heaven bless us both.
Well, let me ask you, Rosemary, would you be willing sometime to be on one of my shows, and we'll just swap some stories about some of the things that we remember back in those misty past?
Well, I would be more than willing to do that.
Well, Rosemary, if you'd be kind enough to send me an email to Carolyn at carolynevers.com. That will have your email address on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have some real fun.
Yes.
I went with a group of people. We had, I don't know, about 50, 70 people. One of the groups, we had gone to the Bahamas. We were working with Master Kasumi and working with light codes.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the people there they remembered being in Atlantis. And I was talking to this gentleman, and he remembered being a high priest he wasn't a high priest. He was one of the priests there. The high priest, he told us, would collect the energy from the crystals, turn the energy over to the priest, and then the priest, with the mental process, would create. They would manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he remembered taking energy and manifesting a flower. He said in his hand, he opened his hand, he used the energy, he used his mental ability, and there was this gorgeous flower sitting in his hand. And they were taught that anything that they manifested, they were to give thanks to Supreme Creator, that the energy and the process belonged to the Maker. And he said he looked at that flower, and he knew what he was taught, that he was supposed to offer thanksgiving to the source of all. And he looked at it and he said, "What is wrong with me claiming that I made this flower? It is here in my hand and I did it. What's wrong with that?"
You know, a lot.
Well, see, he realized later that was an error creeping into, and I mean, he realized it now as he was talking about it. Of course, at the time, he didn't. And I thought that was so fascinating because that was the beginning of error in Atlantis. That group that thought they could do these things, they were doing it, and they were not acknowledging their responsibility to Source and the fact that was a gift.
Everything is a gift. Even your children are a gift. They are only on loan.
I just love that you said that. Yes, I felt that too. Thank you for telling us that on Mother's Day.
Okay.
Well, Rosemary, you are a delight. I anxiously look forward to receiving your email,
mm-hmm.
as I'm certain the people out there who are listening to this are going to be so anxious to hear more of your memory stories.
They're fascinating. I remember climbing the pyramid at Chichen Itza.
Oh, did you?
With the big chain. And I remember getting up to the top and having this weird experience. We're standing up at the top, and I'm going, "Okay, have you found out you can't kill a light being? I'm back."
I got to laugh at that because I have been to Chichen Itza. I was also on top of the pyramid to the sun and the moon, and I remember being a sacrifice there, too. So... Kathleen, we've done it all, dear.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I didn't have that response. You can't kill a light being. I really like that one.
No, they don't die. They may accidentally lose a body before they can bring it into total ascension. But
I love it. Oh, Rosemary, you are going to be a delight. I'm so looking forward to having you as a guest.
Oh, thank you so much. And you have a wonderful Mother's Day. And thank you for bringing all of this to our consciousness. It's just beautiful.
Isn't it great?
Because most of the time you look at it and go, thank you. Like Mary, you ponder these things in your heart. You just don't do that.
Oh, how beautiful. We'll talk to you soon, dear heart.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, my dear friends, I am just delighted at our two callers, Rosemary and Brian. This has been so marvelous being able to share these stories. And as you can tell, we didn't get a chance to talk about the ley lines, the fire festivals and the earth energy. Didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday. Didn't get a chance to talk about it today. But you know the beauty of it, there's always another day. So from my heart to your heart, this is Carolyn Evers saying goodbye just for a little while. Tune in Sunday to Cosmic Connections. We'll have Charlene McNeil there working with healing. And to all of you wonderful friends, goodbye for now.